This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. We've got Dr. Kat with us chatting all things weight loss. Let us have your questions for the doctor on our studio number 061-895-1019. Doc, just before we went on air, we were chatting about where we both, you're in a guest house in the UK, I'm down in Umhlanga, and I thought I'd kick off the conversation. Firstly, going to say welcome, and secondly, why is it that for so many of us tend to put weight on when we go on holiday? So welcome to the show, Doc. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so glad that I was able to make time for this really important conversation. Yeah, it's also that the people gain weight when you away. I guess it's because we part of celebrating is eating, and when you're in a good mood, that's what you do, because eating and mood are very, very closely associated. When you're having a bad day and you're depressed, you want to eat. When you're having a good day and you want to celebrate, you want to eat. So that's probably why.
Absolutely. And I think the food down here is absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, it's opportunities for ice creams and walks on the beach. So it's not an entirely bad thing. I think I don't want to get off topic too much, but I mean, if we are away for a week and we tend to maybe let ourselves go, is that such a bad thing?
Well, the thing is, if you know the good foods and the bad foods for your specific body type, because everybody's body is different, and when you are away, you must know which foods to stay away from mostly. For example, an A-type person, because I had a small chat with you, and I'm quite sure that that's your body type, an adrenal body type. Adrenal body types should stay away from salt, red meat, cream, butter, shellfish, and alcohol. So generally, those people, if you have those things in moderation, and you focus on the things that your body does like non-meat proteins and lean fish and chicken, then you can make better choices. So that can actually help you to minimize the weight gain. And the other thing you can do when you're away is most people forget to drink their water. So when you're away, you want to be eating all different things, and you're hungry, and you don't realize that you're actually thirsty. So the most, yes. I think the crucial piece of advice I can give to anyone out there is buy water, carry water, count your water. When you're away, know that you need to hydrate regardless of the weather, regardless of where you are. Your body is 80% water. You need to be drinking your water. If you drink enough water, you won't be able to be, you won't eat that much extra. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Doctor, it's such a valid point. I mean, it's such an amazing point. We do tend, when we're dehydrated, we feel hungry and we eat. And water is quite a good way to keep that system full and balanced at a very basic level, if I understand it correctly.
Correct.
Fantastic. Correct. Let's chat about some of the healthy options for losing weight. And then we're going to chat a little bit about Ozempic. And sort of what it's used for and how people can use it in a healthy way.
Sure. It hasn't changed, you know, since time gone by. The way to lose weight is, if you want to lose weight, eat less. That's it. What's happened nowadays with the trends that people are going on and the amount of fad diets that are out there, and the access to information with all social media platforms, people tend to know more about things now than they did back in the day. So when patients come to me and they'll, you know, usually when they're angling to ask me for a script for Ozempic, they'll give me a whole long story about how nothing's worked for them and how they think something's wrong with them. And they want to find a reason that they're overweight. And 99.9999% of the time, there's nothing wrong with them. The reason they're overweight is because they eat too much. That's it. Bottom line, calories in, calories out. That's it.
Yep.
And just for the record, I don't script Ozempic. I don't give it to anybody. So because if you're coming to me to lose weight, obviously you don't know, you haven't given your body a chance to lose weight having eaten the good foods. And if you have not given it a chance, in my mind, you're not a candidate, because it's only for people who have tried and need assistance, and somebody who understands what good food is. Because The studies, if you can find them online, they're very easily accessible. 100% of people who stop taking Ozempic or Saxenda or any of the injectables, the GLP-1 agonist, will gain weight. 100% if you stop it. So unless you prepare to take it for life, or you use it as a tool to say, listen, during this time, when I'm taking one of these drugs that's going to decrease my appetite, I'm going to eat better. Not I'm going to eat one slice of chocolate cake for the whole day because I'm not hungry. You're going to say, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to eat, learn what's good for my body. Let me eat the proper things so that when I'm off it, I'm still eating the same things that's healthy, so that I don't gain weight. So that's the crucial thing, is that people need to understand the place about it and understand your body first. That's, for me, the most important thing. Understand yourself, understand your body, understand why you eat, understand your body type.
Doc, what you said put two things now, put a huge smile on my face. I remember with my grandfather many, many years ago, he said, you only need two exercises to lose weight. And the first one was shaking your head left to right. And the second one was pushing both your hands in front of you. And that was to replicate saying, no more food, thank you, I'm full. Pushing the plate away saying, I'm full. So those are the only two things. And that exactly what you said, you know, if we don't overdo it, we're not going to end up in so much trouble. Just from my side, and thinking of the Ozempic story and the other sort of weight loss drugs that people are trying, I've been sober for 18 years. And when I stopped drinking, in those 3 years after I stopped drinking, with trying to then eat healthily, because my diet was horrendous, it was just alcohol, coffee, and pasta. Mm-hmm. When I stopped drinking, I lost 50 kilos in a 3 year period. And I think there was just basically inflammation.
And remember what I said earlier. I had a small chat with you. I saw you briefly on the Zoom camera, and I told you that just from my experience, you're most likely A type. And I gave you the six things. Yep. I said salt, red meat, cream, butter, shellfish, and alcohol. So you're eating pasta, which has salt, and I'm quite sure it had meat in it, and it probably had some salt, definitely salt and meat were there. And if you were doing a seafood creamy pasta, all of them were there. And then if you're having alcohol, it's there as well. And I'm guessing that the coffee you used to drink a lot of had full cream milk in it. So the coffee wasn't too much of your problem. It was the milk that you were having in the coffee. And that kind of thing, people don't understand, because you would look at it and go, coffee is good for me, I'm losing weight. No, not for certain body types. But an A-type person who's having coffee, it's the milk in your coffee that's the problem. So I'm able to dissect this. And when I saw you just having a brief conversation, I'm doing this for 20 years. So I can usually look at a person and tell you what their body type is.
And what's going on with them. So for me, my body loves vegetables. It loves fruit, hates wheat, hates gluten. And cheeses and milk on its own will absolutely destroy me. It's terrible.
You must try fat-free milk, because the proteins in a full cream milk will not affect you as the same as the ones in the fat-free milk. Because when I gave you the list, I said full cream. So so it's not just the milk; it's the full cream milk. So if you give it a chance and try that. And the second thing is, when it comes to the gluten, people think that they're gluten intolerant because of the bread that they're eating, and they feel different. If you try having, say, a sourdough bread, start off with that, and have it with something like salmon, I promise you, you will realize that it's what you were eating with the bread, and not the bread itself, that was giving you the problem.
And not the bread itself.
Nope, not the bread itself.
I absolutely. Craig's just signaling. That we're going to an ad break, the first live read, which is good, because you distracted me with the sourdough and salmon, Doc. I'm thinking toasted sourdough with some salmon on. Oh, my word. All right, we'll get back to that after this.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And we're back with Dr. Cat. Doc, absolutely love that. Got distracted by the salmon on toast. And you've given me an idea and a little bit of an inspiration. I'm going to be applying it. I think we'll chat about this maybe a little bit more at the end of the show. I'm going to be applying your advice because I lift in the 105 kilogram category for powerlifting. And I've been wanting to drop back down to 93 kilos. So I've got 6 months to give that a go and have a bit of fun with it. What I wanted to ask you, though, is how in touch are people, how in touch are your patients with their bodies? When you said, you know, we need to be aware of what we're eating, how it's making us feel.
Well, from what I've seen, most people who are overweight don't understand their bodies. I mean, we just had a simple chat, and already you, when you lost weight, you assumed it was the alcohol, which is correct. But there were so many other things that contributed to your weight loss. So when a patient comes to see me, you know, if you look around you, even at your in your own family, look at your best friend, your spouse, you know, your body shape is different, your personality is different, your tastes are different. So obviously, the food that affects your body is going to be different. And let me just give you a stark example of two different body types. So you get a thyroid body type and an adrenal body type. So in a female, they're known as you get a pear shape and then you get an apple shape. So yes, you get a pear shape and apple shape, but that you can look at a person and look at their shape. But what does that mean? So people who have who are apple shaped generally have abdominal obesity. They have narrower legs. Those people are most likely adrenal type. So adrenal type patients are generally patient. They can take intake up until a point, and when they get angry, they get really angry. Thyroid type patients, on the other hand, like women who have a narrow upper body and they have wider hips, those are the ones who have, they don't necessarily have thyroid problems, but they have subclinical hypothyroidism, which means that the thyroid is not functioning properly. And then these women tend to be very impatient. They drink a lot of coffee. They like things their way. They, you know, generally don't eat a proper meal. They'll nibble, nibble, nibble the whole day. With adrenal type people, somebody like you, they like food. So they maybe won't have a big breakfast or a big lunch. They'll have one big meal, so like a big dinner and then throughout and smaller meals. And with thyroid type people, they're grazers. So they have little, little, little the whole day. And then they think they're not eating. So they'll come and say, oh, I don't drink, I don't eat. But when you break it down, that little that they were eating the whole day, they'll grab a bite here, a samosa there, a this there, you know, a handful of a packet of chips there, a chocolate there. So it's a small thing. I mean, having a bar of chocolate compared to eating a full plate of food feels like you're eating less, but you're not. You're eating the wrong things for your body, and you're eating the same amount of calories, or even more than somebody eating a big plate of food. So I find that people are completely not in touch with that. And what's changed a lot for me over the last 20 years that I'm in my practice is that nowadays, we, especially after COVID, we are in this generation and this trend where everybody wants immediate quick fixes. I mean, the fact that you can just go to your phone and click on a few things and your groceries get delivered to your door, your food gets delivered to your door, it's instant, it's now. It's not planning. Let me get up in the morning. I got to go to the supermarket. I got to get groceries. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. It's not like that anymore. And it's the same thing with your body. In fact, I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight tomorrow. You were not thin yesterday and you didn't get fat today, but you want to get thin tomorrow. You know, that's the kind of of challenge that I face. So when patients come to me and they know that the options are do it the hard way, lose weight, exercise, eat properly and exercise and lose weight, or there's this pill or there's this drug or there's this injectable that they've seen trending on TikTok or they've seen trending on Instagram, they wanted that. Why? Because that person lost weight. Are you that person? Do you live that person's life? Is the person telling you the entire truth when they're doing their social media post or they're telling you the story? They are not. You don't know the entire thing. You've not walked in their shoes, but you want the results that that person got. And then when you try it and it doesn't work for you, then you tend to hide it from your colleagues. You wouldn't tell anybody because it's embarrassing. You tried it and it failed. But that's the story. So people don't get the full story. And you know what the sad truth is? This full story is out there. When Sana asked me yesterday to do this interview, while I was waiting for you, you know, during the ad break, I just wanted to check, if this information is readily available. And it's super, super simple. I'm just Googling on my phone, sitting at, like you said, an Airbnb in Birmingham, and it tells you exactly how many people lost weight, how many people gained weight again, how many people, what side effects they got, what are the reports, how many people committed suicide after taking Ozempic. It's all that, just as easily accessible is the information, but it's not, people are not trending about it. It's not trending on TikTok. It's not trending on Instagram. Why are you even lazy to research it? Yes, you saw this post on Instagram. Go and read about it. Read more about it. Don't jump from, I saw this, this is what I want. You know, do your research. It's your only body. You only have one. Treat it with respect and treat it with kindness so that it treats you properly back.
Absolutely, absolutely love that. We have one. We have to treat it with kindness and respect and get the love back. We can't expect to be in a relationship where we abuse a partner and then get unconditional love and support from that partner. You know, our bodies are exactly the same. I love that, Doc. What I wanted to ask you, if we make it, look at the practicality of it. For people eating certain foods or any food, what should they be looking for in terms of feelings? And I know it might be quite obvious to state, but what if you're eating something that's not good for you, what would you be feeling versus something that's good for you?
Okay, that's a really, really good question. And I like that you asked that. So when a person has an allergy, right? So if you know you're allergic to nuts or you're allergic to strawberries, you'll have the strawberry or the nuts and you end up getting hives all over your body, or you get like face, your face swells or your tongue swells. When you get a serious side effect, you can't breathe, right? Mm-hmm. So so when a person asks you side effects of a medication, side effect about anything, you know, you think it's serious. It's not like that. There are 10 different feelings that you can get after a food that you eat that will indicate that your body doesn't like it. So the first thing is the big ones, like can't breathe, you know, because you get swelling of your glottis, swelling of your throat, mm-hmm. swelling of your eyes. Then you get hives all over your body. You get a reaction. Then there's things like feeling cold after you eat, feeling hot after you eat, sweating after you eat. When you feel like on your extremities, you find that it's cold on your extremities. Then you get things like dyspepsia, which is basically flatulence and burping, or you get heartburn. And then the thing is, it's not immediate. So there's sometimes somebody will tell you, I went to a restaurant and I had food poisoning. When did you go there? Yesterday. So you had like diarrhea and vomiting today, but you associate with the food that you ate yesterday. So it's the same thing where you can't sleep. I know that my body type, I'm O type. So the things that my body doesn't like, spices, red meat, cream and butter. Think about that as an Indian, spices. I'm not supposed to be eating spices. So I changed that, it was really difficult, especially in Durban. You know, you commented about the good food. Everything is spicy and hot. And once I identified that my body type, and I went to eating like basil, thyme, oregano, those kind of things, made a very big difference. Now that I understand that, now imagine, I said spices, red meat, cream and butter. And there's me having a mutton bunny in Durban, right? Because that's red meat, that's spices, and that's definitely got oil in it. I will be awake between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock that night. Even if I had it at lunch, if I had it at dinner, it's even worse. And there's me knowing that this is going to happen. I will be pacing up and down. I will have indigestion. I will have heartburn. I can't sleep. And I know that is directly linked to the spices and the red meat. I get it with red meat as well, because that's my body type. So if I know that that's what's going to happen to me, and I've associated that feeling with that, then I must not have the red meat, or I must endure it for that night, knowing that I indulged and that I'm going to suffer. So that's the way I would understand it. Also with caffeine, my body type, I'm allowed one caffeinated beverage before 12 o'clock. And I'm quite sure, you know, I speak fast. I'm trying really hard to speak slowly, especially when there's something I'm passionate about. I speak really fast. When I have a second cup of coffee for the day, I promise you, I don't even know what I'm saying, because coffee gives me a buzz like that. And thyroid type people like that buzz because they feel that they are more productive. But when you look at it properly, what it's doing to your thyroid, because caffeine blocks the conversion of T4 to T3. So you've got a high circulating T4, which is the hormone that you need to make T3, but T3 is the active one that gives you, that does all the work for the thyroid. And caffeine blocks it direct. It's a direct block. And what I don't understand is, so at medical school, we don't get taught any of this. We get taught malnutrition, obesity, take a diet, one word, exercise, one word, and then these drugs. And then we have to learn the drugs. We have to learn the side effects of the drugs and the interaction. The most important thing is those four letters, diet. Because if you're telling a thyroid type patient, I mean, a person with hypothyroidism, take L-toxin, take tetroxin. You need this for your body. Fair enough. There's a problem with your thyroid. But if you don't tell that person to stop the caffeine, you are not helping them improve their thyroid function because caffeine is blocking it. So that's why I've moved more into the functional medicine space, because food and supplements make a huge difference to your health because it works together. And you can't have one with the other, but you have to start with the food because you don't have to take the pill, but you have to eat. You see, because that's the thing that we eat to live. Some people live to eat, but I mean, we eat to live. That's what we're supposed to do. So if you start eating the proper things, you don't have to take many of the things. I mean, there are only four drugs that I script in my practice, and that is out of necessity. So I can get away with helping a person who's diabetic, helping a person with hypertension, helping a person with depression with food and supplements alone. And I've been doing it for 20 years.
Sure. Well, you know, it is, I mean, I stand under correction, but with the Hippocratic Oath, isn't it the opening statement, physician, let food be your drug?
Yes. And also, first do no harm. That's where it comes. First do no harm.
Absolutely. It would be something quite incredible to see the world focusing on what we eat rather than eating what we want and then trying to supplement it with medication and or just being tolerant of a bad lifestyle. If we look at some of the stressful things that the body will produce when we're not eating correctly, what are some of the things that people can look for when they are eating correctly? Some of the feelings, perhaps energy levels and so on.
Before I answer that, I just want to comment on what you said earlier. It is a money spinning industry. I mean, you know, obesity, that why are people overweight? Why are people fatty? It's because they eat. But what we eat because of the advertising, the way foods are advertised, the way, you know, the marketing is done so well. And then this fast food story where it's absolute shite that's in the food that we're eating it because it's convenient, it's quick, and it's meant to appeal to that sense. I mean, you driving on the freeway and you see this big, massive advert for a burger or chicken wings or whatever it is. And that's what you're hungry. That's what you see. That's what you're going to respond to. And, you know, there's this thing, the entity that's known as mindless eating. And 15% of what we eat per day is from mindless eating. And if we learn to mindlessly eat less, we will lose weight just by being consciously subconscious of what we eat. And I know that's a topic for another day. But the effects that you feel, that you said when you eat good foods, you have better sleep. When you have better sleep, your body releases melatonin. When you have melatonin, you're not going to get hungry. So that's what helps you to eat better when you start eating better. But the first couple of days are difficult, and then after that, you get into the cycle. The second thing is, like you said, the energy levels. The energy levels that you get from eating proper food or proper foods for your body is amazing. That will give you then you have the energy to go to the gym, you have the energy to exercise, and that is a positive feedback loop where, you're exercising, you're feeling healthy, you're feeling good, you're eating well, and it's a good cycle. Then you're exercising, you're drinking more water. Water is making you healthier. Water is improving your energy again, improving your digestion, improving your gastric emptying. Again, that's a positive feedback. And then the most amazing thing that I see with my patients, when I put them onto a plan for a week, I see the way their face changes. Like in a perimenopausal woman who has like a square, round, fat face, you'll see her face elongating back to her old, younger self. In patients who are thyroid type, when I take them away, thyroid people, like I said about the coffee, they should have zero cups of coffee a day. You can't even have it in moderation. You have to eliminate. That is the only thing I eliminate from a certain body type, not from everybody. So when that person takes, I take away the caffeine, they really hate me in the first couple of days. I mean, sometimes I get messages, Dr. Kat, I hate you. I'm missing my coffee, but I'm going to do this because you said so. And when they come and see me after 7 days, they look like a completely different person. There was one patient, I didn't even know her eyes were blue. When I saw her after a week, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know. Because her face was so gray and she was looking, and she wasn't even overweight. She was just having way too much of coffee. She was feeling miserable. And she saw an advert and she came to see me to do her body type and she listened. Yes, I got probably had hiccups for the first 3 days because she was really, really upset with me. But she looked like an amazing person. And you know what she told me? I remember clearly. You know, men generally don't notice any changes in their partners. Like their wife will have a haircut. And they'll come and say, is there any different about it? They're like, you changed your clothes. They never know. You know, and the woman always get upset. She said she woke up one morning. It was about 8 days after she had stopped the caffeine. And she hadn't even washed her face yet. And her husband said to her, your face looks amazing. What have you done? And she's like, I was shocked. And I replied, I got a new face wash. I go, you're so rude. I said, why didn't you tell him that you stopped the caffeine? She goes, because he's been telling me for years I drink too much of coffee. I didn't want him to be I didn't want him to be right. But that's it. It gives you a dramatic effect like that where you look better. You're not as puffy. You're not as gray. Yeah. And that's what you want. You want to look healthier.
Absolutely. Doc, I want to touch on that point, particularly about the coffee when we're back from these air breaks. Absolutely lovely story. I love it.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show, chatting with Dr. Kat, a weight loss expert. And I don't even want to say weight loss, Doc. I'm going to say wellness and optimal health, because that's really what it's about when we're fueling ourselves with what we should be fueling ourselves with and not eating for the sake of eating. It changes everything. Let us have your questions for the doctor on 061-895-1019. Doc, just before we went to ad breaks, you were relating this wonderful story of a woman who didn't want to admit to her husband she was having so much coffee, but in 8 days, he saw how amazing that change in her body was. How resilient are our bodies for changing and getting back to health and back to, you know, the homeostasis?
So, you know, there's this 80-20 rule where you get the, there's a certain research has been done that if you want to change a habit, then you have to stop doing something for 21 days. And it takes 90 days to form a new habit. 21 days to break a habit, 90 days to form one. So when you see the changes in the first week and you've lost the weight, you have to carry on. And after that, that's why when people always say that losing weight is hard, and I go, no, losing weight is not hard. Keeping the weight off is hard. So that's the thing. Yeah. So it's the 21 days, which is a short time. You're motivated. You're feeling good. You're looking great. All of that. What happens after that? It's that 3 months after that, where you need to be, you know, that's when the work actually kicks in. And, you know, that's again, another reason why the people are not doing so well on these injectables is because they see the results initially. And then after that, you have to, you know what, we take pleasure from eating. The chewing, the taste in your mouth, the different textures that we have with the food. And then also, it's the social aspect of it. I mean, it's not even about going out. When you're sitting with your family and you're eating, it's interacting with your spouse, interacting with your kids. It's all about the food. And when you are that person who's sitting there with absolutely no appetite, feeling miserable because you've got heartburn and you're getting nausea and you don't want to eat, you're miserable, the kids will be miserable, the spouse is going to be miserable. How is that happy? And then you have a bad relationship with the food because it's not associated with that happy place. When you're, you know, the studies have shown that families that eat together are less likely to be overweight. Why don't we promote those kinds of statistics than saying there's so-and-so movie star who injected herself with this, with Ozempic and lost weight. Do you also know that movie star's got a personal trainer and a chef that's cooking for her? You know, let's look at the whole story. Don't just say, oh, yeah, she's looking amazing. Of course she's looking amazing. If I had that amount of money and I had a trainer and I had a chef, of course I'd look that way too. But do you have everything that she does? No. So you have to look at everything, you know, in its totality. And like you said, it's about wellness, because my company is called Dr. Katz Weight Loss and Wellness Center, because that's what it is. Weight loss leads to, you need for wellness, you need to have lost weight if you're overweight. And we know that 3 out of 4 South African women are overweight. The statistics are shocking, and obesity is on the rise again, because like what we spoke about, it's the convenience, the fast food, and the food that we are able to access, and you know, cheap food. Mm-hmm. Do you know what they're putting in it for it to be cheap? Somebody still has to make money from it. So obviously, it's not good stuff that's going in there. You know,
it even comes. There's two things that I wanted to touch on with this and get your opinion. You know, we talk about food quality for our pets, and if your dog's not feeling well and you take it to the vet, the first thing the vet asks you is, "What are you feeding the dog?"
Yes.
And then
you
usually adjust that, where with the cheaper dog foods, you're going to see a lot more dog poop on your lawn, because it's just filler that's passing through the animal, and it's not giving it any nutritional value. So much of the food today is engineered, and you touched on some of the points where it's texture, it's chewability, it's density, it's the satiation points of sugar, salt, and fat to hit those perfect levels to keep us eating without even realizing it, and particularly if we're not conscious. How have you found in your practice people's relationship with food? Are they really beating themselves up, yet not understanding that the food is engineered, a lot of the food they're eating, to get them to keep eating it?
Yes. So let's start up with a very important study that was done long ago. It tells you that the first bite of food that you're eating is always the tastiest. And what happens is we have another bite and another bite to try and get that original bite back. So there are people who are very disciplined, who are thin, and they'll tell you, "I love chocolate." And then you ask them, "How much of chocolate do you eat?" They'll be like, one piece is enough, one bite is enough, or half a small bar is enough. Why? Because they've understood that. I'm going to have this piece. I'm going to enjoy this piece. And you remember I spoke to you about mindlessly eating, right? I'm not the younger generation will not remember, but you and I will know that before a bar of, when we used to have a bar of chocolate, it used to be huge. Now you get a friggin' 80 gram slab. 80 gram, 200 grams. Come on, guys. 200 grams is a slab, you know. 200 grams. Slab. You know, exactly. You know, and they're giving us, even, you know, when we used to open a packet of chips, I remember at school, you'd open the bag, you'd open it, and the first chip would be right on top. Now you open the bag and your hand goes right in. And then people will be eating like a big bag of chips, you know. So everything's changed because of money and affordability. Yeah. So you end up eating a lot more because there's a lot less in, you know, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So if you understand that, and when you're eating, you basically, what it means is you can eat whatever you want. Just understand how much you're eating and eat less of that. But don't keep chasing the next bite and the next fix, because it's never going to taste as good as the first one. And when you're talking about the relationship with food, it's very complex, because you know, it seems like I'm digressing, but I really am not. We know that women premenstrually will crave chocolate. We know that they're also moody, because you know how it is. The spouse or the boyfriend will be, "Oh, like, God, are you PMSing again?" Or even the kids will tell their mom, "Oh, are you?" Because we know it's a thing that premenstrually women are moody, and then they'll crave chocolate. Do you know that the first ever antidepressant was theobromide, which comes from the cocoa plant? And theobromide is in chocolate. And why do you crave chocolate? Because it makes you happy, because of the theobromide. Also, chocolate is very high in magnesium. And just before your period, premenstrually women, the magnesium level in a female drops. And when your magnesium level drops, magnesium gives you depression. It makes you sad. So your body can't tell you, "Hey, give me some magnesium." You start craving chocolate, because chocolate makes you happy, and chocolate's got magnesium in it. But you don't need to eat like 3 slabs of chocolate or a whole bag of Chuckles. That's my absolute favorite, by the way, Nicholas. I mean, I love Chuckles. Chuckles my thing. But I can
Chuckles
say
on vanilla ice cream, Doc, crunched up. Sorry to interrupt.
But you notice how you went with the vanilla ice cream, because of the A-type. You remember the cream and butter, the fat in the ice cream. There you go. You see, there we go again. And for me, it's the the chocolate has enough. But if you take out 10 chuckles, close the bag up, put it back inside a container, close the container, put it in a cupboard and close the cupboard and walk away with your 10, you're only going to eat 10 because it's going to take a lot of effort and walking from the TV or from wherever you are to walk back, open the cupboard, bring out the container, open the container, open up the bag, take out some more, close the bag, put it in the container, close the container, put it into the cupboard, close the cupboard. You see, so that's mindlessly eating less. Exactly what I told you right there. But do you understand, like, it's such a complex relationship with food because you just said, I just need my chocolate. And then it's the same thing with people who say, I just need coffee. I can't function without coffee. No, you can function without coffee. You think that you can't function without coffee because that's the relationship. And the thing about thyroid type people is they have very addictive personalities. Something, someone, and some food. So those are the people who crave the caffeine. And when they stop the caffeine, their bodies go through full withdrawal as if they were going through a drug withdrawal. And that's why they keep going back to it, because in that person's body, it's a drug.
Doc, I want to get into that a little bit deeper as soon as we're back from this ad break. And then I'd like to get your thoughts as we wrap up the show.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
We've been chatting with the wonderful Dr. Nasiba Kathrada, Dr. Kat, about weight loss and health. Doc, just as we start to wrap up the show, you mentioned something that really hit home with me. It's the first bite that tastes the best. And having been sober for 18 years and worked with addicts, heroin addicts call it chasing the dragon, chasing that first high, which is completely unattainable. But it's not really that is the thing. I think our most complicated relationship is not in the people that we date or live with, but it's our relationship with food. Why do you think we have such a bad understanding and connection to food and to our bodies? And then just as the wrapping up question, what would you like to see change and what should people take from this conversation?
Sure. So, you know, we say things like, I have a gut feeling, you know, and then you say, I have heartburn. I mean, those things are, we know it. Why do you have a gut feeling? Because feelings, emotions come from your gut. And that's the precise reason I touched on a little bit earlier, that Ozempic works on the part of your brain that's also responsible for your cravings, which is also responsible for your emotions because it's linked. So that's the reason why we get happy when we eat and when we're sad, we want to eat, because that's the same part of the brain that works. And God in his ingenuity had made us like that because it is got so much positive to it, because we did explain what happens when you eat well. When you eat good, how your emotions and how your feelings can change as well. But when you eat badly, it's different. So when people want to go on an eating plan, my first consultation is 45 minutes minimum. And we have a chat about everything and the weather and the work. And then at the end of the day, when I explain about their body type, they're like, how did you know? It's because I need to get to know the person better, because I'm not talking to them about the food that's good for me. I need to tell them about the food that's good for them. And then it's different for an A-type person who's driving a truck all night, and an A-type person who's got an 8-to-5 job, and an 8-to-5 woman who's working, who's staying at home cooking the food. So I also have to take that into consideration, because that's how complex the understanding of your body is when it comes to the food you eat. And for me, it's out there. It's so easy to understand it, because we say things like, oh, I've got a gut feeling that person is irritating. I got a gut feeling things are not going to work out. Why? Because the emotion, it comes there, it's in your gut, you already know. And trust me, when after this conversation, I hope that people have a gut feeling that they need to go and be doing research about their body types, because that's what you need to know to understand your food. And I can tell you something, Nicholas, that's just the first step. I'm doing this for 20 years. I know full well what my body likes and doesn't like. I know exactly how I'm going to react to certain things. It doesn't stop me, though. I mean, I'm here at a wedding. My cousin's getting married, and my daughter and I came for the Silverstone Grand Prix here. That's why we're in the UK. And if you're there at the Grand Prix, which is, you know full well the races have to be a certain weight. Otherwise, they get to fit in the car. The seats are molded to them. They do all of these exercises. You're going to watch this race, which is so, they lose about 4 to 5 kilos per race. And the entire circuit was full of food. churros and chips, and there wasn't a single healthy thing available. You know, and you think, you know, well, you came here to watch a race where these people spend half their lives in a gym. They are that's what that way to get into that car. We want to watch them. What were we doing? Everybody was like had a beverage in their hand, was eating and eating junk, you know. And that's what it is. It's about celebrating.
Oh, well, yeah, Doc. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up. I love it. We'd love to hear more about Silverstone. And it is, it's a dichotomy completely, a paradox of healthy athletes and what we're eating in the stands. But really, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Kat, chatting all things weight loss. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. And it's been a fantastic show. Coming back to freezing cold Johannesburg. So please, could you turn up the heat today? Thank you for joining us. This has been 101.9 High FM, the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. My name is Nicholas Single, and I will chat with you next week.